Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next here at postwrestling.com and whatever podcast app you are listening to us right now. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. If you are live with us right now, you might not see us. It's been certainly for Braden, a bit of a weird 24, 48 hours. Yeah. We are now currently in Ottawa. We brought him back from Japan. He had a fleeting visit back in the six, and now we're in Ottawa.
Yeah,
the capital.
You can't see us today, and we're in Ottawa. We actually started this other little side gig once in a while, which gives us the opportunity to travel a little bit around our beautiful country of Canada. And the event that we're like working to is tomorrow morning. So they flew us in today to make sure we're there and ready. And we're like, man, but I'm back. We gotta watch NXT Homecoming. So it's Up Next Homecoming. Not quite, because we're in a random makeshift hotel right now.
Braden came in earlier. I had to work today. I went straight from work to the airport, flew here, checked in, and pressed play on NXT. Right. So just off the top, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show today. We're going to kind of cut out a lot of the stuff at the beginning because we do have a really early start tomorrow. Braden still thinks he's in Osaka or something.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
And it's been a lot of travel and stuff. So we're going to kind of skip the Raw talk today, and but we'll just hit you with some plugs right off the bat. If you don't know who we are Poison Rana. We have our very own podcast network where we do a lot of shows weekly. But we do the NXT show for Post Wrestling every Tuesday. And this coming Saturday from 11:30 onwards, if you are in the Toronto area, we will be hosting All Out at Gabby's, King Street West. Come along. It's the perfect pre-party before All Out if you are going to the event. We've been asked by a few people, are we showing Wrestlepalooza after? We're going to be at the presser, so we're not going to, but we'd love to see as many of you as possible before the show. It's absolutely free to come. Just, you know, make sure you spend some money while you're there and come and hang out with us. We'd love to see you. For more information, just go to poisonrana.ca.
Absolutely. Very looking forward to this weekend. AEW's coming over to take over the bank, the Scotia Bank Arena. It's going to be All Out in Toronto. We're very excited. We're going to be at the show. But like we said, if you want to come hang out, if you're in the area or you're making your way to the Six for the show, I know they moved it to 3 p.m., but Gabby's your bar. I say it's your bar because you run that bar. But we're going to be there bright and early. So have some brunch with the BDE. I know you've got your Poison Rana post-wrestling drink menu.
We've even got a breakfast shot, the pancakes and pile drivers.
Whoa. Interesting.
Whiskey and butter ripple.
Okay.
Chased with some orange juice and some bacon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So how many are we going to get John Pollock to do before?
Remember, we've got to go to the press later.
get John all juiced up.
You'll have a 6-hour show to sit through to sober up afterwards.
Right.
But yeah, that's going on Saturday. Super excited. A bunch of post and Poison Rana personalities will be there to hang out with. So come along.
Absolutely. I always say whenever you've heard us do these shows is the postmarks out there, the NXT friends, the Poison Pals, all the listeners, and obviously Toronto, our hometown, it's always fun. So any post-wrestling people, any of the Poison Rana people, we would love to see you. Even if you stop by for a drink, stop by for a shot. We will be there probably about like till 1 or 2, I'd say, because obviously we want to make it in for the show starting at 3. And then, hey, if you're visiting Toronto, we will be at the presser afterwards. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff to go out, because whether you don't want to go back to your hotel room and just watch WrestlePalooza or find it, I'm sure other bars are airing it and stuff. But we'll be out in the town, and then the Sunday we'll be doing a show at some point talking about it on our Poison Rana feed.
Absolutely. We have a lot going on at Poison Rana. We are going to be doing another show on our feed. So if you haven't subscribed to us already, whether that be in audio form or YouTube form, we don't have a time set yet for going live necessarily, because it depends on what time we get back from Ottawa tomorrow. But we're going to do a bit of a show. We're going to do two, actually. We're going to do one for the patrons, where Braden and I are going to have a bit of a catch up. He's going to tell me all about Japan, and therefore telling you guys all about Japan.
Yeah, Super Nintendo World. I got ghost stories. I've got a whole lot of fun stuff. 7-Elevens, Tanahashi's ass. There's a whole lot to catch up on my trip. And I got to shout out everyone who's jumped in the seats here. I got to shout out Neil, Boris, everyone who's jumped in. B over on the Patreon as well. So Poison Rana Post Network community, thank you so much. But yeah, we're going to record a show for all patrons where we'll catch up on our summer and my trip and so much more on that. That's the not so PG version over on the Patreon.
Yes.
But then we will go live at some point for a free show where I think we'll just kind of catch up on some other stuff. I definitely want to talk about WrestleMania Saudi. I also want to talk about All Out and maybe give a little preview for Toronto this week. So we got two shows coming tomorrow, and one of them is for free. But like we said, patreon.com/poisonrana. You want to hear all the shenanigans I got up to, including very strange vending machines. It's $5. You get a whole month's access to all the shows coming up and all the shows that we've done in the back catalog. Today is NXT Homecoming. We do a show called Was Next, where we go back and we've been reviewing all the old NXT. We've recently just passed the arrival, then the first ever takeover. So we really are deep in it with all the different podcasts and stuff. So give us a shot if you haven't already. And I'll promise some crazy stories from Japan just for worth the $5.
Absolutely. Some other shows you can check out on the feed. I just recorded with B Detroit last week. Best match ever. AJ Lee. Fun show talking about best matches, best moments of AJ's first stint in the company, as well with a match we have never reviewed,
because Caitlin
from the game show era of NXT.
Oh.
AJ Lee versus Naomi, which was excellent.
Okay.
And it's available for free online. So go and check out that match and check out our best match ever, AJ Lee. But also with WrestlePalooza coming up, which we'll also be talking about in our preview show and on our Sunday show.
Yes.
We decided to go back and review an old ECW WrestlePalooza. This was the last show Braden and I did before he went to Japan. And yeah, this is the time to watch it, to gear up for WrestlePalooza at the weekend.
Yeah, this was great. I mean, I recommend going back and watching this WrestlePalooza if you've not ever done it, because our review was, it's a perfect show for a review, because it's got just like maybe 90 minutes of like match into segment into epic Taz, epic ECW moments happen on this show, including Taz, Dreamer, Terry Funk, sort of, I guess. But there's a whole lot in this one, and it was a ton of fun. And it's weird that
Jerry Lawler.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a whole lot. And so it's kind of funny that they've used WrestlePalooza. That name has been in the tank forever, but they're bringing it back for
what? It's so weird.
ESPN debut. It's like, oh, okay. But not mad about it, I guess. But super cool show that we did also on the Patreon. So again, check us out if you haven't already, and we'll be seeing you with. We'll be working on some new shows, obviously, coming in the next few weeks, catching up and whatnot. But appreciate as always. And hey, maybe if the Patreon isn't for you, just search Poison Rana in your Spotify, YouTube, whatever you use. Give us a follow. Give us a nice little review, and it goes a long way as well.
But absolutely. Yeah. I know we're throwing a lot of plugs at you, but the best way to keep up is just by following us, poisonrano.ca, following us on the socials, at Davey Portman, at The Brady, at Poison Rana Pod.
Absolutely. So again, looking forward to seeing some peeps in Toronto, and don't be shy. I got some new Poison Rana stickers I'll give out as well this Saturday. So definitely looking forward to seeing people. And again, really proud of the community, and lots of shows coming up in the near future. But it's like we said, there's a whole lot of stuff I obviously want to catch up on. But I think for tonight, just because of our situation, we're going to kind of fly through some NXT. But a great episode. I'll tell you the truth. This was my vacation. I didn't watch NXT. Is there two episodes in NXT that I'll just be in my blind spot? Or do I maybe in the next few days kind of just...
Well, Boris and I were really high on last week's
show,
which was kind of a lot of setup for the show we saw tonight. But yeah, definitely Briggs versus Javon Evans, I thought was really good. And I'm trying to remember what the main event was. But yeah, it was bookended by some really solid matches last week and a lot of setup for this show. So I think 2 weeks in a row, they've had a pretty good time. And, you know, nostalgia pretty much always work.
Absolutely. So I did see some I didn't see a whole lot of what I did miss, but I know that No Mercy is next week. We won't be doing a show Saturday night, but the Sunday afternoon we will be doing our No Mercy post show here on Post Wrestling. So look forward to that as well. Another plug, I'm throwing so much at you, but it was a cool episode for tonight. That's kind of why we definitely wanted to, even though with our schedules being all over the place, talk about this homecoming to Full Sail. And I'll throw it, like, we watch a lot of NXT. Like we said, we've done so many shows. We've been covering this for Post Wrestling NXT for so long. Me even going back with the Law and so much. But quick NXT little throws at you, because they like to show. They didn't show enough of the old stuff, but they only had like 2 hours here. But best takeover off the top of your head.
New Orleans.
Best NXT match. I don't think I need to even ask.
Gargano Andrade.
And two.
Yes.
Oh, two, right. Two. Yes, of course. The takeover one. Yeah.
They were both takeover, but the one for the title.
Oh, right. Yes. Right. Yes, of course. Yes. I'm trying to think best.
Best moment, like best turn or something like that.
I like the who shot Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano's kind of my MVP of NXT, I'd say. Like, I feel like he was.
Yeah, definitely, you know, the first time the logo showed up at the bottom, and that was referenced last week, actually, by Gargano. But yeah, the first time the logo showed up at, was it Chicago, I think, after that that ladder match with Ciampa turning, that was a huge moment.
I always think back to TakeOver New York. Now, it was in Brooklyn, but the one where Johnny and Adam Cole, like that match, I think that pay-per-view and that match might be my favorite, like, NXT, like... You know, I always go off New Japan Kenny, but NXT TakeOver Johnny was like such a big thing there. But there was definitely a few takeovers that were just so like star-studded and so many moments in this Full Sail University. So they showed some stuff, and I guess like even names that you maybe wouldn't necessarily think that they would show. Like you saw clips of Sasha Banks, Mercedes.
We didn't get Richie Steamboat, unfortunately.
Oh, imagine if he came back. Well, who else? Where was Conan Reeves?
Not exactly.
What?
Yeah, last week Boris and I were calling, like, who are the deep cuts we want to see? And,
Leo Kruger?
Raquel Diaz. No, what, was it Raquel Diaz? That was her name, right? Yeah, Shaw Guerrero, Richie Steamboat,
NXT legend.
Exactly. Conan Reeves.
Oh, what about Chris Christopherson's kid?
Yep. Garrett Dillon.
Captain Comic?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know deep NXT lore. We don't know a whole lot. Our brains can only hold so much knowledge, but NXT is deep in it.
But actually, this was something I really liked about this show. So let's start officially. NXT Homecoming, September 16th, 2025. And yeah, we have a great video package starting off with the original NXT song, which is a bit of a deep cut. Like, this was like way before like NXT kind of really got its juices flowing, if you will. But the original theme, I can't remember the name of this song.
Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria. A lot of people would know it from like what, Guitar Hero, Rock Band.
Right, yeah.
And like, such an awesome song, and so cool that NXT even used this song back in the day. So gave me a great vibe off the top with using it, only for them to outdo themselves.
Well, that during this video package, they're showing all the big moments. You're seeing all the moments from Full Sail, not necessarily the big takeovers, but the Full Sail moments. So like Nakamura versus Finn, Aleister Black making his debut, Bobby Roode with Glorious, Drew McIntyre
Sami
returning.
Zane, like, yeah, even Seth Rollins, right? Like, yep. There was stuff that goes way back.
Big E as the champion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bo Dallas even. So you had all those moments, and then you cut to Gargano, who's in the Full Sail parking lot, the most dangerous place on earth, saying, "It's been said, it all started with a whisper."
It started with a whisper.
And we see like clips of Ciampa winning the title, saying "Daddy's home." Poppy, even remember her?
Izzy with the headband.
Priest, Finn winning the title the second time, and then it cuts to Finn Balor, who says, "When I look back at my time in NXT, it was one of the best parts of my life." Cuts to shots of Dusty Rhodes when he was the GM, Bayley, Izzy, Asuka, and then it goes into the roar of the crowd. In my opinion, the greatest NXT song.
I mean, I love Welcome Home just as a song. Like, I knew this song before NXT, but this one feels like it was the theme song for NXT. The yeah,
and
classic.
They show this video, like, it's basically the new, it's a retro version of the opening video package. So whereas before it would have all the, you know, Sami Zayn and Tyler Breeze and that, now it's got the current roster, but with the same font and stylizing as the video package way back in 2014.
Yeah, you know, I thought they did a good job, right? Right off the bat, it gave it a cool feeling of like, oh, if you've actually been following this for a long time, you would know it, like all this story and all the lore and everything. But maybe you've caught up more recent and you're like, oh, okay. And the way they would tie in some people tonight, like it was a good video to definitely get me in the feels of all the years of NXT. And look at all the different people who've become like mega superstars, not just in WWE, but and elsewhere, right? Like, it has kind of proven that they have created the power factory here. Great.
It's something I recommend actually checking out if you haven't seen it, is the part one of the video package they did on SmackDown with Cena and Brock Lesnar. And
okay.
It was showing clips of them way back in OVW and like first interactions with each other.
Wow.
Stuff we hadn't really seen before. And just going about how their careers were kind of different. And that OVW class of Cena, Batista, Brock, Orton, and Shelton, and Orton is talked about quite a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look at this class now, it's literally the whole roster have gone through NXT now at this point.
Yeah, like, that's just
like
how it works. Yeah.
Three people, maybe.
Yeah, it's either you've come in from AEW or basically you've gone through NXT in some way. There's only a few that didn't. And there was weird things like, they brought in Samoa Joe into NXT, but then AJ Styles just straight up to the main roster. Like, there was different things. Not that anyone, like, you know.
Joe was an interesting one because he came in when everyone else was changing their names.
Yeah.
And he like, came in on, like, it was like a one-shot deal, wasn't it? He wasn't even signed by WWE for a little bit.
Right.
He was just kind of brought in for, like, a little story. And then they're like, yeah, I guess we'll sign Joe.
And you can't change his name. So, yeah, I like the video. I like the feel and mixing him in with those themes. It reminded me there has been a lot of things that have gone through the years of some great, great stuff. And it just made me miss takeovers again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Triple H comes out to King of Kings, slightly different setup at Full Sail. It's got the ramp level with the stage, level with the ring. So everything's a little lifted above the crowd here. Triple H says, "I cannot tell you how good it feels to come home." There's welcome home chants. He says, "These three letters are something special. This place, Full Sail, is special. For every talent who walked out of that video board," and says, well, it's not a curtain, it's a video board. For every staff member and crew, everyone, all of you are special. But what is really special is all of you, the fans. Everyone who is here watching on the CW, you are special, and are why NXT is stronger than ever. All of you took something that started as a whisper, quietly going on. You turned it into an undeniable roar, and your passion, along with the talent that did this for no other reason but passion, turned it into a roar, shattered conventions, allowed NXT to take over. So it's on you. You are the ones that said that NXT is the future. You are the ones that said the future is now. And you are the ones that stood on their feet and shouted at the top of their lungs, we are NXT. Very similar to the like promos Triple H used to cut at the beginning of NXT.
Yeah, some, you know, Triple H maybe not be the most favorite this week for some people with him. Just, I don't know, people, I see a lot of negativity dialing back in, checking social media and learning about WrestleMania announcement stuff. I see there's a lot of negativity towards Triple H just because he was the messenger, I guess, of that situation. But here he is doing damage control for me, at least as a fan. Like, look, he's being Uncle Paul again, trying to do all the NXT hoorah stuff that he did start a lot of those shows back in the day with a little bit of this. And then, we're watching this together here in the hotel room, and right away you're like, okay, now Sean's going to come out because now it's Sean's version of NXT, and of course his music hits.
So Sexy Boy plays, and Sean comes out and says, "Well, as I came out of that video board," and Triple H says, "Yeah, well, it's not a curtain,
no
is it?
Curtain.
We're all thrilled to have you back at NXT." And Sean says, "Like, I know you're busy, you know, disappointing lots of fans, making billion-dollar deals, having Mark Shapiro come out and say that we don't want families to come anymore.
Doing Kill Tony.
Our prices are too low. Well, you're busy doing that, Paul."
So he did not say something. He did say, "Hey, thanks for signing billion-dollar deals. I know that a lot of us, like, appreciate it." So the wink, wink there, like, "Hey, thanks for lining my pockets." I mean, Sean, those double knees replacements aren't free. And I mean, you're going to look at the clock. How many months till WrestleMania?
18 months, I think.
18 months till WrestleMania. Like, all right, Sean, better get those knees up and going. Did you call Ray's guy?
Triple H then continues to jerk off Sean a little bit as well. It's a big circle jerk.
Felt like 97 again.
Yeah. And says NXT is the best thing on CW, that you're lighting the world on fire. So thank you, Sean. And then he gets all serious and goes, "But what if I said I wanted to come back?"
Ooh.
And Sean goes, "Well, I didn't want this to get uncomfortable, but then we would have a very, very big problem." When William Regal comes out.
Nice. Very, very cool here with the NXT. I mean, this guy was the GM, but I mean,
the dance of NXT.
Yeah,
isn't
it really is. Like, this guy behind the scenes, even, like, totally a big imprint on this. So really cool to have these three here.
He says, "Gentlemen, please, there's only one way to settle this." And someone in the crowd yells out, "War games." And Regal goes, that's my bit.
Yeah.
And then says, "War games." Little bit of a weird end to it. I know they wanted him to get his catchphrase, but
maybe
for a second you're like, are we doing Team Paul versus Team Triple H? And it's like, no, no.
I thought we were just jumping to conclusions right away. Like, okay, Sean, Triple H, one last time, Saudi. But William Regal interrupted this and says, it's going to be a War Games match.
It would have been nice seeing that we're doing, like, as we said, like the dads of NXT, if there was some kind of Dusty reference here as well, to have, like, you know, the four guys who really...
And then JBL.
And then Ava and JBL,
And then Ava.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
Charlotte then comes out as her and Alexa Bliss are going to defend the tag titles.
This was weird. So William Regal's like, hey, there's only one way to settle this. Charlotte. Oh, I wasn't like, did she interrupt?
Well, no, he says War Games.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte comes
out. Yeah, so I was a little weird.
She's probably like, guys, we've got a hard, tight 2 hours to get through here. And Alexa is out with her. And says, oh, I think these guys are starting to argue more than we do. And Charlotte says, oh, we don't argue. We're besties. But it doesn't matter who's in charge. The women run NXT. And it's always been the way women like the Four Horsewomen, Paige, Asuka, Carmella, Alexa Bliss. And Bliss continues, Charlotte Flair, Io, Rhea, Ember Moon, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax. And Alexa says, there are so many women that have come through here. And the women have always been the backbone of NXT. And that's never going to change. And if you're not down with that, we've got two words for you. Suck it.
Wow. Kind of bummed she left out Jessica Alaban and Eva Marie in this list.
Yeah.
But, you know, you couldn't name.
Yeah, who else have we had? Like
through NXT, you said Shaw.
Jasmine Duke.
Jasmine Duke. Oh. Marina's doing great.
Marina's doing good now.
Marina was all right.
Yeah.
Jasmine Duke might be the one.
Anyways. Yeah. We go to the match. So it's Tatum Paxley and Izzy Dane from The Culling taking on Alexa and Charlotte. And I thought as soon as these kind of in the ring with each other, you go, oh, I get why they picked these two, because Tatum is kind of like a mini Alexa and Izzy Dane's like a, like very similar in stature and stuff to Charlotte Flair. So
yeah, like
Tatum, kind of mirror images here.
Tatum plays with dolls.
Yeah.
And so does Alexa.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It kind of does make
both
sense.
Creepy.
Yeah.
So we start off with Alexa and Tatum who are both trying to out creep each other. Alexa gets thrown in the ropes and does almost like a spider web in the ropes, like the Tranquilo, but a little creepier.
Very cool.
As Tatum does her like Matrix escape backbend to creep her out. Alexa goes for Sister Abigail, but that gets evaded. And then Tatum shows off her athletics with some nice-looking backflips and cartwheels to get out the way. And then Charlotte and Izzy are tagged in. And Charlotte offers her hand. Izzy slaps it away. And then there's a double natural selection from Flair and Bliss. Izzy and Charlotte are trading slaps, and both hit a big boot going down. Tatum and Alexa then come back in, and they're both trading slaps. There's a blockbuster from Alexa, followed by the twisted Bliss, but Paxley manages to move out the way, goes for a pin, putting her feet on the ropes, but Bliss gets out. Tatum then hits her like version of the SOS, which looks pretty nice when she hits it, goes for a 450, but Alexa moves, so she rolls through, but then Alexa catches her with a slap to the face, followed by the Sister Abigail for the win.
Yeah, pretty fun match with the double. I'm going to go back. It's homecoming. So bow down to the queen. Isn't that what she originally called the
movie?
Yeah. And natural selection. I thought both of them hitting that at the same time, that was pretty cool. I think, like you said, the styles of these two meshed pretty well, with Izzy being the bigger, taller one and Tatum being smaller. But we've said for a while, Tatum, like, she's got something for sure. And this Culling thing might not be the most interesting story arc or group or whatever, but at least they're improving, and like Izzy and Herb are both like on TV, and here they are facing Charlotte and Bliss and like having a pretty fun little match with some cool like near falls and stuff. So I thought actually that they stepped up in that role and really like rose up to their level.
Yeah, I get very bored of
the truth will set you free
and that kind of thing. Yeah. And I think a lot of the time, and I think it is something guilty of Sean's version of NXT, we've seen a lot of things which are like Timu versions of stuff we've seen before, you know, like
his book,
Joe Gacy and stuff like that. And the what is it? Dark State, and just like very tropey, very played out, done before and not quite done as well. But I do think since they've shifted to the culling, focusing more on these two than the men, it's getting a little bit more out of these and allowing Tatum to show like she's come a long way in the ring, I think. And I think Izzy, there's potential there. I still think something's missing, but when you see her in the ring with Charlotte and you realize, oh, there are real similarities there. So yeah, I thought this was a good showing between the four.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I think every time they tease the women's titles in NXT, we've been like, oh, just give it to NXT and like make that a title. But I think Alexa Bliss and Charlotte are actually doing a good job with the titles, at least both kind of being big stars and stuff. But I guess we'll see where we go with Tatum and Izzy. But you know what they say, the truth will prevail, and
sometimes there's light like in the dark and
setting you free.
You've got to be set free, you know.
Yeah, anyways, it'll ultimately prevail. It'll work for Tatum and Izzy, I think, if they continue with this. But yeah,
we go backstage where we see Sol Ruka and Zarya arguing. Now, Brayden, you missed it last week, but yeah. Sol, you know when you just accidentally soul snatch of someone?
Oh, that happened.
Yeah, that happened.
We've done it to each other.
All the time, too many times. So Zarya's mad, and she kind of says, like, look, you're the best athlete here. How can you accidentally soul snatch of someone? You could have stopped yourself.
Like, kayfabe, like, yeah, that's kind of the one move. It's like, wouldn't you be like, oh, wait, that's my friend. Like,
and
you're upside down.
To be fair, your back is to them, right? Yeah. When you hit it. And Sol's like, yeah, well, what about all the times you speared me by accident? Lainey Reed comes in, who's going to be facing Candice soon to determine who's facing Sol for the Speed Championship. And she's just mocking them for arguing. Candice comes in and runs down Lainey and says that she will become the Speed Champion. When Shayna Baszler returns, I believe Shayna's been doing some backstage work, hasn't she, with WWE recently?
Producing or training and stuff like that, but yeah.
So she comes in and just goes, fix it. She's like, I've been a tag champion a few times, and I've had multiple partners in that time. And
she hasn't been due.
And she's and saying, yeah, and things happen, and you argue, and but I see the potential in you two, and you just got to apologize to each other. Fix it.
She's like, I remember Ronda
and Natty and Tamina and who else? Yeah. Your favorite Shayna Baszler telling your favorite tag team to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool that she's doing training and stuff. I know, was it Ronda was just in interviews I saw. So I was kind of wondering if we would see maybe an appearance from her elsewhere and Shayna, but now seeing her on TV kind of tells me that's not the case. So maybe she could teach. I thought for a second, I'm so out of it that I didn't realize, like, I thought she was going to challenge for the speed title. And I was like, oh, okay. But even weirder is Candice LeRae is just challenging for this, I guess.
So yeah, there's been a little tournament.
Yeah.
And the final is Lainey and Candice, I believe.
But we imagine it's Candice versus
Sol. They've been doing a lot with Lainey Reed as well.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't really care about the speed championship.
I'm just kind of sad if Zaruka, you know, implode. Like that's going to be the big thing here. Like
Zaruka that Veruca, right?
Like, well, I don't know what you just said, but I think like the WrestleMania stand and deliver, could we stretch this all the way till then?
So yeah, you've done the tease of the breakup, you get back together, and then it's got to be over one of these titles. And I think Sol can lose this championship to someone else and have it for the North American down the line.
Yeah.
But it would be cool to, I mean, we say this all the time, but it would be cool for those women's tag championships to have a little pit stop in NXT for a bit. And these are the two you put it on.
Yeah, right? No, I like these two as a team, even though I know you don't like their TikToks. But I do think when Zarya finally snaps, it'll be interesting. And I want that match. So I'm down to let it play out, though.
We go to our next match. It's Trick Mellow Gang taking on DIY. Trick comes out first and says, two things for sure. That's all it is. And Mellow finishes it saying, and that's all it's ever going to be. When Mellow's music starts and he's brought back the putting the jerseys in the rafters, but this time with DIY.
That's right.
It.
Yeah, it's either putting your jersey in the rafter or putting you on a T-shirt, right? This is really cool. Again, I have been out of the loop, but seeing this tonight, Trick and Mellow Gang back together versus DIY, like that's really cool. And then after hearing the first few themes tonight, I was wondering, would we get, well, Ciampa comes out with his old theme, right?
No One Will Survive.
No One Will Survive. And then Johnny Gargano comes out to this Rebel Heart, finally, not the
proper one,
not the butchered one, whatever that one is. I don't know if we claim that one, to be honest, but we do this one. Just use this song.
Show me the way.
It's just so cheesy. This one is so much better. So love seeing.
I wanted Ciampa them. Him. I think they came out last week to their old DIY theme.
Like Guitar Track 14 or something, yeah.
Well, it's the claps from.
It's kind of the original.
It's the skeleton.
Yeah,
Rebel Heart. So yeah, this was cool. Ciampa looking like Goldust or Mr. Iguana here.
Yeah, it was more like Call of Duty or something. And then later he hits a Scorpion Death Drop. So I'm like, are you Sting?
He was doing Black and Gold.
Right.
But the thing is, it did look a bit like
Shattered
Goldust.
Dreams. Here. Yeah.
Yes. Mellow and Gargano start. They're going at it. Lots of evading each other, roll throughs, kip ups, flipping out of the way of each other. A really fun start. Trick gets tagged in, and Mellow drops down, allowing a huge drop kick to surprise Johnny Gargano here. And DIY then get into control. And as we go to break, they're on the apron, patting themselves on the shoulder. And after the break, Gargano is just taking out Trick and Mellow. He hits his bulldog clothesline combo, and then Mellow goes for a draping DDT to Gargano on the ramp, but Johnny fights off. Mellow then dives through the ropes back into the ring. Remember, the ramp is like level with the ring here. And then as he turns around, Gargano spears him through the ropes. Mellow comes back hitting La Mystica, and then Trick poses behind Mellow as if he's going to take him out. Mellow turns round and Trick leaps over Mellow's head, taking out Gargano. This was a pretty cool spot here.
Yeah, they are teasing that there's already dissension with these two.
So last week,
basically
Trick brought out Mellow, but then Mellow started kind of running down Trick and being like, you think you're a big shot and you're disrespecting us NXT legends, and kind of putting Mellow in the conversation with DIY.
Right.
And then Gargano was basically like, yeah, you guys still don't like each other, but this is the match that needs to happen. So shut up and let's, so they didn't turn it where they're just best pals again. They played off, you know, we turned on each other and all that.
I think they would work really well. We've said it for a while, like, hey, you've done the breakup story here, but if you were to put Trick on the main roster, I think being a unit again isn't necessarily a bad. After watching this match, I'm like, hey, you're
well,
having
we never,
a good match.
We never really had many tag matches with them, did we? They were like a unit, but it was always Trick supporting Mellow and Mellow being the champ. And so
different dynamic for sure.
Yeah.
Trick stepped up.
He had hops here, leaping over Mellow to take out Gargano. He then gets Ciampa up in an electric chair, allowing Mellow to hit his springboard clothesline. Ciampa comes back with Project Ciampa, and then Trick goes to use the TNA Championship, but the ref takes it off him, allowing Ciampa to capitalize with Angel's Wings, and then DIY line up for Meet Me in the Middle when Mellow dives in, taking out Trick, and then turns into a shatter machine from DIY.
Another classic moment.
Yeah.
Shout out FTR, shout out to Toronto.
Right. I was at a bar the other day, and one of our listeners, JP, John Pine, said, is DIY versus Revival two out of three the best match to take place at Scotiabank?
Right.
And I mean, Omega Ospreay, but yeah, like maybe it's for definitely sure. in the conversation.
Well, if you came to Forbidden Poor, we had that conversation. It was a big part of John and Way, and people kept asking that question about the different things.
Best match.
And then I think I remember saying to our audience that, yeah, best matches, sure, but best moments is when I've seen Kane versus Snitsky. That's also up there, you know.
So Shadow Machine, then Meet Me in the Middle. 1, 2, but Trick breaks it up. And this is where Miz runs out and is ringside and hits the skull crushing finale.
I was like, I don't know if it's just jet lag, but I was like, wait, what? Why is the Miz here? And then, oh yeah, Mello don't Miz. Shout out to the one guy in Full Sail in the crowd tonight who went, holy shit, holy shit. And then just decided no one else was. The Miz got a holy shit chant 2025. Yeah.
And then Mello hits nothing but net for the win. And as it ends, Miz is posing with Trick and Mello on the stage, with Trick looking a little bit confused about it all.
Me too, Trick. But you know what? Go with it, I guess. Hey, what a unit. Miz, Trick, and Mello.
Well, I've got some theories about that. But first of all, the match, what'd you think?
Yeah, it's actually really fun. You know, seeing DIY, that's definitely a soft spot for us. Like, that's what some people like us would say, Golden Era, Johnny, Ciampa, all that stuff. So seeing them kind of do some greatest hits was pretty cool. But like I said, Trick definitely stepped up. Seeing Carmelo actually get some stuff in like he used to, I thought everything, that nothing but net looked really good as well. So this, like, gave me enough of what I needed from, like, okay, the kind of the old school versus that other new school, that and kind of mixing the blending it together. It was good.
I really enjoyed the match. I kind of thought this was going to be the main event.
Yeah.
Of the Chari. It feels like the biggest match you can do. But yeah, I thought, as I said, we hadn't really seen much of Trick and Mello tagging, and they've had some cool sequences together, and DIY are obviously always great. I've kind of turned a bit of a corner on the Mello Don't Miz. Mello Don't Miz.
Yeah.
Last week, I thought Carmelo coming out in NXT, he finally felt like important again. Like, you forgot like how good he can be on the mic and stuff like that. Now, the story that's been going on SmackDown has been Mello just wants to go for singles titles, and Miz is like, no, we should be a tag team. This week they did a thing where Mello's going, he's challenging Sammy in the US Open Challenge next week. And Miz is like, that's too much. And Mello's like, no, I could be US champion and tag champion with you. And Miz is like, oh, but that's almost impossible. And Mello's like, well, you did it. And then Miz is like, oh, you've been kind of like, you've been watching my stuff. You've been studying me.
Oh, God.
And I think they're setting up for Mello and Trick to take out Miz. Yeah. And now you've had this moment here with Trick looking on a little suspiciously. I think it will work. And I think actually, yeah, there's a lot of eye rolling teaming Mello with the Miz. And they're like, what are you doing with this guy? Actually, I think it's starting to be the most like over and interesting he's been on the main roster so far. And then you throw in having a match with Sami Zayn on SmackDown next week, which should get people talking, like these two open challenges so far. We've got a title for title match next week. So maybe Trick is moving up soon. Drop that TNA championship and go and do this story on the main roster with Miz and Mello and get these two as a unit again.
Yeah, yeah. I actually think that would make a whole lot of sense. Like, the Miz thing, you definitely roll your eyes, but then it'll be something that could help and is helping Carmelo at least be on TV because he wasn't for so long.
Yeah.
So I think it is time. Like, Trick would be fine on the main roster. Like, his wrestling is definitely improved, but it's just his charisma alone is like what WWE, like, he has that.
Yeah.
I think once people see him for the first time and some of the, he comes up with catchphrases a lot. And like, I just think he's someone that like would really click for a whole lot of people seeing him for the first time. So I think that would make a whole lot of sense. And I always like Carmelo and kind of been wondering, oh, what's going on with him and whatnot. So this was a cool first step in the right direction, maybe, but I'm still not over that guy yelling, holy shit, at the Miz showing up. And it's just like, really, in 2025? So we'll see what happens. But what about DIY, man? Like, what are they doing? Like,
well, they've been heels on the main roster, yeah, and they're just full-blown, like, babyface DIY, like, on.
Why doesn't it work? Like, I don't know what's missing, what's clicking, what's not clicking clearly. Like, the wrestling has always been good with these guys, but I feel like there's still hope for something to.
There's so many people. I think Triple H has always wanted to, you know, have them run as a tag team so you can eventually recreate that. Yeah. But it's them feuding at this point. It's not going to be a main event match. It's probably not even going to get on a pay-per-view. It will be blown off on a SmackDown or something.
Yeah.
But we've seen, you know, sometimes it takes a while. Like, it took Sami Zayn a long time before he's in this main event picture, and he's getting there now. So I don't know.
Yeah.
They're so talented still.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from Post Wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Talking of Sami Zayn, we see him backstage, and he says, it's emotional being back here. There's so many memories of this building. One of my favorite matches. I assume he means Cesaro, yeah, which he didn't.
Well, he says one of my favorite matches and when I won the title here. So, like,
I thought it was like two things. Yeah. Like, one of my favorite matches and I won my
Cesaro NXT 2 out of 3 falls, or the
Neville match.
The Neville one. Yeah. Both are fantastic matches if anyone's never seen them, which you can hear us talk about.
Absolutely.
Patreon.com/poisonrun.
He says so much potential came from here and so much still coming out of here. But Sammy says, there's someone here who reminds me a lot of myself and has a lot of heart. And that's Javon Evans. And Briggs walks in and said, Javon, you're wasting your time with him. I beat him last week. When Javon attacks Briggs, fights him off, and then Sammy says to him, you've got something a lot of people don't have, and that's heart. The sky's the limit. The sky's the limit for you, Javon.
Sky's the limit. I wonder if he'll come out to that. Oh, well, you said they fought last week. Is this going to set up for like a rematch at No Mercy?
I hope so. I really liked their match last week, and I think Javon needs to get his win back. It is very much, I hadn't really thought of it until Sammy's here. It is very similar to the Sami Zayn story, the Sami Zayn Cesaro story, where he just can't get that win. And, you know, he'd always lose the big one until he finally won against Neville. They are telling a very similar story with Javon.
Like, him being the underdog, I think we've said the story needs to, he keeps losing until like Stand and Deliver. And then finally he beats what probably might still be Oba at this point. Like, I know we just
unified NXT and NXT championship.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. And then maybe my manifesting of what is it, the X Division title, and I don't know. There's something there still, but we'll see if we go that route with Javon being finally the one, which will happen. But cool, having Sami Zayn. Like, yeah, we've been reviewing old NXT, and he was there for so long, and nothing was kind of happening, even though he's one of the biggest stars. And then finally they went with it. And then look, it took so long for him to blow up on the main roster. And then when it finally did, like, he's a megastar. So he's definitely been like one that people, even before NXT, El Generico and stuff, whatever happened to him.
Okay. So you've said you've taken a little, you're on holiday. You took a step away from NXT for a few weeks.
Wrestling.
At what point did you realize Tyler Breeze was wrestling tonight?
Oh my God. Look, everyone, it's Tyler. Yeah. Mini pop here in our hotel room. Cause I was like, wait, Tyler Breeze is still on NXT? Is what? And he still looks the same.
He does look the same. Like, I had to check. He has been wrestling quite a bunch, mainly teaming with Dango.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Thought Breeze looked great.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze, someone we've been actually reviewing a whole lot of on What's Next. We recently just reviewed the debut music video of his theme. So watching it here, I know some of the lyrics here. But yeah, pretty cool to see Ethan Page versus Tyler Breeze, two Canadians.
Yeah.
Is that the story that
Well, no, it's I had this with Boris last week that basically Paige won the who won the flag match? Tavion won the flag match and then beat up Paige, and he's left lied out when Tyler Breeze just comes out to no reaction and poses with him with the selfie stick. And then later in the show, they just show the graphic.
Right.
It should have been Paige winning, Paige getting on the mic. Like, he can cheat to beat Tavion Heights. Getting on the mic, say, not only am I the greatest NXT North American champion in history, I'm the greatest Canadian to ever wrestle in NXT.
Right.
And then the Canadian comes out. True. They made no real reference to it. It was really odd.
Well, I'm happy to see Tyler Breeze on. He is a character that I liked in the days of. He's kind of had two runs, right? Like, think back to him and Daniel coming back every week. It seemed like
the running joke used to be like whenever there was a mystery opponent, and we'd be like theorizing who it could
be.
Like,
are they gonna be?
What like free agent is gonna show up, and it's Breezango.
Yeah, even when it was singles matches.
But the thing is, they'd also NXT have been known for their entrances, right? And like, someone new comes in and it used to be a thing, like, what's their presentation going to be like? And because every week they'd come, you know, one week they'd be pilots and the next week they'd be firemen or something
astronauts,
like that. Yeah. They'd have different entrances. So you'd be like, oh, this is interesting. Who are these guys? Could this be the machine guns or something? And then, it's these two dressed as pilots.
Well, I thought Tyler Breeze looked pretty good. Dare I say, I thought Tyler looked gorgeous here back in Full Sail on NXT.
So, North American Championship match, Ethan Page versus Tyler Breeze. Breeze takes Page down with some drop kicks and does his classic pose in the ropes, just lying down. Breeze fakes a low kick and then takes Ethan out high. And then Page just stops him with a punch to the mouth. We come back from the break and Paige is in control, just bullying Breeze, delivering boots to the head. He sets up for Twisted Grin, but that gets blocked. And then Paige goes for Ego's Edge, but Breeze slips out and hits a flying clothesline. Paige then goes for a pin sitting on Breeze, but has his hands on the rope, so the ref breaks it. Breeze comes back with a Rana, and then Ethan Page delivers this huge Ego's Edge, tossing him across the ring.
He threw him across the border back into Canada here. Very nice.
But Breeze kicks out. Breeze is getting back into it. He applies the figure four around the ring post.
Very Canadian move. Yeah. The Brett version, right?
The Brett version.
Yeah.
And now they're both rolling around the ring with submission attempts, which Breeze breaks out, hits the super kick, but only a two.
The supermodel kick.
Supermodel kick, yes. Sets up for the Unprettier, but that gets countered. And then Breeze catches Paige with a cheeky Nando's in the corner. And we'll let you off, Vic. I know you weren't calling it back in the Full Sail days, but he doesn't just hit a spinning heel kick. He hits the beauty shot.
Yes, come on. The beauty shot. Not the money shot. That's a different wrestling move and a whole other thing. But the beauty shot here. Yeah, maybe Vic just
wasn't. A less favorable Canadian there, the money shot.
Yeah.
But Paige kicks out. Breeze then goes to the top rope, but gets knocked by Paige, allowing him to hit a draping version of the Twisted Grin.
It's the Tower of London.
Yeah, the Twisted Tower of London. Yeah.
London,
the
Ontario.
Grinning Tower of London, Ontario.
Yeah, because it's Ethan Hamilton, London, Ontario. You know, maybe an hour or so difference there. But.
And Paige picks up the win. And after the match, I believe this was Dr. Wagner Jr.
I don't know what's going on.
One of the champions in this was Paige fought him in the four-way, the Latin America championship. I'm pretty sure this was Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yeah.
I did review Worlds Collide, but
El Pio del Dr. Wagner Jr.
Oh, that's right. The son of the son of Dr. Wagner.
Yeah, so I was really confused. I'm like, okay, Ethan Page doing a North American gimmick, Canadian gimmick. He just fought Tyler Breeze, and now El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. is there. I'm like, wow, there's a lot going on.
So they were in the match on Saturday. Yeah. I thought a fun match. And I thought I almost felt like Tyler Breeze was trying to audition a little bit here to get his job back, because I thought he looked great.
Yeah.
I didn't miss a beat.
I always loved him. Like, he was always such a fun, like, character. You know, we're talking about NXT Homecoming and stuff, but he's a character that really should have worked on the main roster, or especially around that time when Selfie and all that kind of stuff was modern. Like, he was definitely ahead of the time with the chinchilla fur and the outfits and stuff. But I thought he looked really good here too. He didn't just, like, he came in obviously to help put over Ethan Page, but I thought he looked better than he's looked even in recent. You said he looks like he's been wrestling for the past little while. So I thought this was great. We're going to be getting up to the famous NXT four-way with him,
yeah.
Tyson Kidd, Sammy and Pac, right?
Yeah.
Or Neville, I guess. But like, he had some good stuff, and I always wondered like what could have been with him. So I thought he looked good today. And again, didn't Nate? He truly is gorgeous. What a handsome man.
You know, you saying about the chinchilla fur, because it takes me to Regal always commenting.
Yeah, Regal is.
That would have been a better role for Regal. Put him on commentary, yeah. Pick and book. That would have been good.
With Rich?
Rich
Brennan?
Rich Brennan, Alex Riley.
Tensai?
Yeah.
Jason Albert?
Yeah.
Don't get me going.
Percy Watson, he's another one, yeah.
Renee?
But
for the women's matches,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. Regal on commentary was neat. To get some Regalisms, hearing talk about his ugly daughters and lizards would have been nice.
We know we love our Booker Bites, but Regalisms are where it's at.
Or even do, like, you know, different commentators for different matches, like guest ones. I thought would have been fun. Well,
you could have got Tom, right?
The TNA connection, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, could have. That would have been cool.
His neck pillow.
We go backstage where we see Tavion Heights, who is frustrated from last week, when Damian Priest shows up and says he's so close to making it to the next level. Priest says, you know, you really remind me of me, because I struggled for a bit in NXT, but when I had that match with Finn Balor, suddenly things clicked. And after that, I went off and won the NXT North American Championship. And I had the greatest celebration ever in NXT, in the hot tub.
Facts.
Those women.
That was great. That was NXT heritage moment right there.
Yeah.
The hot tubs with Triple H and these girls.
And you see Tavion getting all excited about the idea of a hot tub. And Priest says, you know what I did? I stopped by because I love you so much, Tavion Heights. I decided to go to Ava and so many times in this show, there are main roster people just apparently who walked up to Ava and were like, can you book Tavion versus Ethan Page at No Mercy? And she's like, sure.
Can you book this match?
Yeah, can you book this match?
Yeah, what's going on?
You could have texted me, Damien.
Yeah. Why does Ava fold so quickly to these people?
So, yes, North American title, Tavion Heights versus Ethan Page at No Mercy.
Yeah, so that is now official. We have four matches, and now that's one of them. And I'm assuming by next week we'll have the whole card kind of filled out there. But Ethan Page, I don't think he's going to be losing this title to Tavion. I think this run he's on is pretty great. Got to shout out Ethan Page. Of course, while I'm away on vacation, my other shoot job, I work at CHCH, Hamilton, Toronto channel. And of course, Ethan Page shows up while I'm not at work, while I'm away. So got to support CHCH and him showing up, doing some media promoting, not only NXT and stuff, but some of the local shows.
Yeah, it's always the way. I remember that night where the one night I don't go to our regular bar wide open was just a bunch of wrestlers were hanging out there.
The worst was I got to work and I didn't need to go in early. So this is years ago at News Talk. And I come into work around 1, and usually I was supposed to come in for 10, but they're like, oh, we don't need, it won't be busy. And I get in around 1 because that's when I was told to come in. And a coworker is like, dude, you just missed the Pink Ranger. I was just like, fuck. You mean to tell me I could have met Kimberly? She was just here. I was like, oh my God. So that's how I felt. It was really cool seeing Ethan Page on CHCH Hamilton represent. So I think he'll retain at No Mercy, but I kind of want this run to continue with the, like, what other Canadians can we, do we have any other Canadian NXT legends? He's clearly going to face Wagner down the line. They're teasing that kind of thing. Like, he's messing with Canadians, but Mexico is part of North America.
Yeah. So. I'd really like to see him move up soon. I think actually him at Worlds Collide just shows he's really ready. Like he came in ready, but I think I'd like to see the Chelsea Green stuff was so good. And I think that would be great on the main roster.
I'm not saying it has to be Tavion, but I mean, it could be, but what if you have him lose this title. And then he eventually answers Sami Zayn's U.S. title and does the exact same gimmick, but with the United States title. Yeah,
that would be great.
And storm it up and everything.
Yeah. So, I'd like with this, like, they need to run with this Sami Zayn, like, open challenge for a while.
Yeah.
But unlike the Cena one, where, you know, he started to cool off on the open challenges and it ended up being matches booked for the pay-per-view right. where he eventually lost, I'd love to have a surprise win. Like,
yeah,
like an Ethan Page debuts and beats Sami on a SmackDown or whatever to win this thing.
Yeah.
Even have Chelsea Green help him to just have that unit together right away.
Yeah, no, I think that he just looks so good. It's been working so good. I think you could easily slide in and have him be doing this on the main roster right now. So book it.
We go to the Grayson Waller effect.
You know, it's homecoming, like it's some like prom or something, but didn't have Grayson Waller on my bingo card of NXT callbacks here.
He kind of brings that up right away. He says, I'm one of the greatest NXT ever had, and I've never stepped foot inside Full Sail University.
Good one. And then they boo him, and then he says, yeah, well, NXT wasn't good until I got here anyways. But I don't want to say I've been beaten into submission with Grayson Waller, but he always had funny
one-liners. He's got good one-liners, yeah.
Like, never criticized him in that, but cool. I almost forget that. Where's his buddy? That guy's just gone now. Is he? Theory? They just broke up on Twitter. I forget how to say.
Like, yeah, and I think did he get moved to the alumni page or something?
I think he's
gone. Yeah, he introduces the contenders. So Oba and Ricky Saints are already in the ring. He calls Ricky Saints a Labubu Timu Grayson Waller.
Yeah, kind of a fake Labubu is a Lafufu.
Okay,
and that would have like sufficed if he just called him that, but I think he didn't want people to not know what that meant, so he had to say Timu.
Got you.
But I saw Labubu's in Harajuku for like $600.
Jesus Christ,
I don't get it.
Have you seen the South Park episode yet?
No,
it's great. They managed to tie in Labubu's and tariffs and all of that.
Right,
it's the City Walk guy. You know,
say
you know,
no more.
You know, shitty one.
Yeah. I'm good. In. Yeah, we need a Poison Rana frog, Labubu.
Labubu,
but yeah, calling him a Labubu, staying with the times.
So, Oba cuts pretty deep here with Ricky. He says, "I don't think you're very special. Ever since you signed, you've been acting like you're the best thing since sliced bread, and you have your flashy entrance, your clothes, and everything." But I can't help but be underwhelmed by you. Because ever since you've got here, you've been looking past NXT about when you can move up to Raw and SmackDown and carry Cody Rhodes' bags. So after I'm done with you, I'll show you the door and you can carry as many bags as you like, but not this title.
Wasn't expecting that. I know I didn't cut you before we go into his rebuttal, but definitely like a deep cut there, like you said. Like you might... People might not know that reference, but I think like if you're smart enough, you might realize that a lot of people have been saying like, hey, he's Cody's boy. And like, hey, wait till you get, we've said, oh, wait till he gets on the main roster. Wonder if they'll align him with Cody. And kind of always saying, yeah, you're just his bag carrier.
It was a bit more personal than we're used to on NXT, right?
Especially from Oba.
Like Ricky's a great performer, but he did have this look on his face that was kind of like, didn't know you were going there.
Ricky's always in segments where people go too far, I guess.
The edge one, yeah. But like, I kind of got that sense. He kind of looked a little like, you said that? All right.
Yeah.
Ricky says, oh, you're not familiar with my game. Says, you might be this college athlete with all these accolades, but I've been grinding for years in wrestling. And I had a trial here 8 years ago and just received an automated email saying no. But I grinded, and now I'm here. And come no mercy, I will not be delayed. I will not be denied, because I'm absolute Ricky frickin' Saints. Gets, like, very worked up and passionate in this promo, but I kind of think Oba had him in this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was done purposely. Like, you know, Oba, he does have some presence on the mic, for sure, and he's had some good promos and attacking people and stuff, but... It was a bit different, like kind of calling him Cody's bag carrier here. So I think that's done purposely. I hope we get a bigger rebuttal next week from Ricky Saints. But then again, this segment just it was all right, and then just took this even weirder turn here.
So Trick Williams then comes out and says, "Oba, you're holding something that still belongs to me, the NXT title, and it has nothing to do with Ricky because this has been going on before you even got here." And then Grayson Waller's just like, "You know what? I'm going to talk to Ava, and next week we're going to have Trick versus Oba, title for title,
what?
Winner take all, and the winner faces Ricky Saints at No Mercy." Ricky's probably like, I've done nothing, and yeah. I get a chance to win both titles at No Mercy.
Okay.
Sure.
Grayson's supposed to be a heel. Wouldn't Trick be like, "No, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
Like, "No, I'm not doing that."
And then he says, I can already hear the TNA fans crying because the TNA title needs to come home. But those three letters are only relevant because I said them. And Oba says he's going to win both and then send Ricky out in disgrace. And that is the Oba Femi rub. Interesting. This reminds me of the kind of Julia Stephanie match where it just came out of nowhere. They were like, "Next week we're doing this match," and you'd already promoted a match for the pay-per-view.
This is official next week. It is Oba versus Trick, title v title. Now, of course, it's wrestling. We could easily do a schmoz kind of finish and the titles don't.
Ricky interferes and this becomes a triple threat. Exactly. Or whatever.
Yeah. But like as you just said, like there has been times when they swerve right away, they go left field, the fork in the road because they have plans and if they want
I'm looking at this and going, maybe it's they want Trick for this
mellow
thing, and therefore Trick needs to drop the TNA title. We can't have him going up to the main roster and having this title, so maybe that's something. I don't know. I could kind of see them doing it because I mean we've seen JCB dual champions, that's been established, that happens now. So
I if you were, it would be Oba.
I think so,
because then
the match is already set with Ricky,
and I wouldn't have Ricky obviously beat him either quite yet. And then like if you were gonna do him being double champ, then wouldn't Javon? I don't know, it's just weird because the storyline has been TNA is mad because Trick the heel stole your title. Wouldn't you have Santana in
beat the
fucking New York win that thing? So it's kind of backwards that they would go back on this. So it does, like, I could be wrong, but like it doesn't make sense to me that.
I mean, could that match be added to No Mercy? Could Santana cause a DQ or something, and you get Santana and Trick at No Mercy? Maybe. No,
are they waiting for that? That's the final.
You'd want that to be on a TNA show, I guess.
Yeah, Bound for Glory, I think the show, right? So. Yeah, kind of weird that they would go with this. Like Trick, the character, the story arc, he's got some truth there. Like, hey, this isn't over. But it's just weird that Grayson Waller was the vehicle. How about I just come up with this whole title match and tell the GM to do that? And then she just accepts this? Like, what? It's that easy? Like, first Damian Priest and now Grayson Waller? It's just kind of like lazy writing. There was other ways you could have got this. You should have just had Oba be like, "Yo, Trick, you think you can beat me? Fine, next week, let's go."
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge match.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big match for NXT next week. It does... I got a similar feeling, as I said, to that Julia Stephanie thing, where it's like, maybe there's a call-up very soon, and they're not waiting around. And sorry, Sean, you gotta have this guy lose the belt, whether it's Trick or... Maybe it makes more sense for Trick to win.
Trick versus Rick? Instead, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go backstage where we see Ren Sinclair and Charlie Dempsey, and Ren has like a notepad and's got all these ideas how to make the NQCC better and get Charlie back on form. And Charlie says, "It's fine. I'm going to go to Japan for a month.
He's just doing what I did. He's just like, fuck it. There's no other way. Just do what Anthony Bourdain said. Go to Japan, reset your mind. I imagine Noah. I imagine.
What's he done? He's done all Japan before, hasn't he? Like, when is.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was all Japan that they did, right?
I'm trying to look. Is he going to do the. What is it? The. What's their version of the G1?
The N1?
The N1's Noah. Is that coming up?
Right. You know, I learned there's a lot of wrestling in Japan. Like, I know we watch a lot. We're weirdos and do watch some Japanese wrestling, but there is a whole other world. Like, there is so much over there. There are so many indie feds, Tokyo, Osaka, like different places have so much wrestling. So, really cool. But I'm interested to see. Charlie needs something. We've said it. So maybe this will help sharpen him up. Some Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know enough about the other promotions, what's going on.
I want him in DDT, personally. I want him in there with the puppet and Tanahashi. I don't know. Book it.
So Charlie's saying he's going to Japan for a month, and Ren says, that sounds glorious, when Bobby Roode steps
this
in.
This was weird.
Bobby Roode steps in, and he's just like, standing there smelling the farts, right? Like, he's like, and all I can assume is she was meant to go, that sounds, and you hear glorious as he steps in, or he steps in and you hear the sound of the crowd who are cheering for him. Instead, he stood there in silence, just like staring up and looking like so proud of himself. It was weird.
Only for her to then say it, so then he then
goes, can you do the thing?
Yeah,
so they do, and now the music plays.
Okay,
glorious.
Like, we've just watched this, we're just reviewing this right after, so nothing, we don't know anything out of this, but was this like supposed to be edited? Was this recorded and then played? Because it felt like there was no pop.
There was some sound cue, whether it's the crowd or whether it's glorious, just something didn't happen. But Bobby Roode looked really silly.
A glorious bomb, if you will, here, for real. But this got me laughing, because I was like, wait, what were they trying to do here? But or people just didn't know who he was. But I don't think that was the case. Bobby Roode.
No.
Yeah.
And then Ren cues up Joe Hendry appearing, who's there, and Bobby Roode says, Hendry, at Mania, you holding the TNA Championship, that was awesome. But now I want to see you focus on the NXT Championship.
Yeah.
This didn't work, I didn't think.
No. It was kind of confusing. And then just having Charlie being like, why is this happening in front of me
in my
segment? Yeah. Like, that's what the character was like, what's going on here?
I feel, I know time is like short, but Bobby Roode should have had an entrance here. They should have found something different for him to do, having the crowd sing along with his entrance. And Joe Hendry's just become such a meme, I think, now. Like, they just use him in these comedy bits now. So whereas he was considered, you know, serious, he fought for the NXT Championship and stuff, I feel he's so far away from that at this point.
You know, Joe Hendry is oddly, it's like a song that, you know, you and your friend group keep seeing and keep sharing a TikTok of a song or something. Maybe you like this song. And then by the time the song gets like huge,
actually in the charts and stuff,
you're sick of it. And I feel like that's with a lot of wrestling fans. Like, the hardcores are like, yeah, he's been doing this joke for a while. It's like, all right, we get it. And now it's like everyone else is finally,
by the time he will actually sign with WWE, we'll be so over it.
Yeah.
I was over this a while ago.
So, like, okay, I did, you know, the one thing I did see from NXT was the clip of him with, was it Hank and Tank, when he calls him out and then he came?
Against Dark State. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's still funny, okay, but I didn't understand this.
But to do that, like, it kind of diminished Bobby Roode as well. Like, he was a quite long time NXT champion, and they just made him feel like a bit of a meme.
We don't need to talk about Bobby Roode's NXT title.
No, I know, but like, yeah. We go forwards. Alexis King is in the ring, and he says, who better to be on this homecoming edition than Alexis Homecoming King? And he says, the black and gold era of NXT is overrated. doesn't hold up to the standard of today's wrestling, and the stars of the past have moved on and don't care about you. Well, I haven't, and I'm a star, and I have a big target on my back, because last week I was attacked by Miles Bourne with a steel chair and then left in the dark. And he calls Miles a sick, deaf man and says, next week, you know, I got someone from the main roster to call Ava, and next week we're going to have a lights out match when the lights go out. And Finn Balor comes out with his old theme, distracts Lexus, which allows Miles to come and attack Lexus. And then as Finn was already posing on the top rope, he's like, ah, I'm in position for the coup de grace, and hits the coup de grace on Lexus.
Cool to see Finn Balor get a moment here. Another really big, star of NXT really came in at the right time and helped create the brand in that era, like really picked them up, I would say. But Lexus King, whatever. It is a whatever segment, I think, for me. But I just think of Finn, like, you were sick. I still don't know if he ever got his demon mojo back.
No.
But it's cool to see that old theme. I like that theme.
Yeah.
This was an epic one. But, yeah, we're getting a lights out match.
Yeah.
We got the – what was –
Did you see? Were you around for the blindfold match?
Yeah, I think I was here for that. What else did they do?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Lights out. We saw that with Wendy Chu and Tiffany. They actually do turn the lights out, and right. There was like fluorescent stuff or whatever.
Okay.
We go backstage with your favorite team, Dark State.
Yes. Miss these guys.
They're being interviewed, and they say, last week you had another run-in with Jurt, and they cut her off. And not allowing her to say Joe Hendry, say all that matters is we got the gold when Tez walks in. And they're like, oh, you're going to tell us you got a problem with us, eh? And he's like, no, I don't have a problem with you, but I still like the look of those NXT tag team titles, and tells them to worry about the target on their backs. And Cutler James is going to say something probably about
targets on back.
Backs,
yeah.
But they cut him off. It's like this picture here, just Cutler James looks so out of place here. You've got Saquon, Osiris, Dion, and Tez, and then just this big white guy in a basketball jersey.
Yeah,
but they're playing with it at least.
So this now they just don't even let him say the jokes now, right? Like they're
pretty much
they're letting your brain be like, oh, target on your back,
yes.
Okay, tramp stamp or something.
Bianca was advertised for this show, and it just cuts to her at ringside, still dealing with the broken finger. But yeah, it was just front row, didn't really have anything to do.
Maybe that finger's hurting.
She's been out pretty much since Mania.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, didn't have anything to do. But she's there ringside for the main event, which is, what is this? Lyra, Rhea, and Stephanie Vaquer taking on Fatal Influence.
Yeah, really cool here to see Rhea Ripley come back. Obviously a larger-than-life star with WWE, but NXT definitely where she got her start here. So her to come back, we have the generation of Lyra, who's also making a name for herself right now on the main roster, and the same with Stephanie Vaquer. So it's kind of a cool little – all this was missing was like Asuka, I guess, here, or like, I don't know, Bailey or something. Like there's a few generations before this, right? You mentioned Ember Moon and stuff, but like people who are still in WWE could have easily also slid in here. But
yeah, I had this conversation the other day. If Mercedes were to ever return
right
to WWE, and you got, because they never did the four horsewomen teaming against anyone, right? Because
right.
They wanted to do it with the MMA girls, and they just
but
weren't
then
good enough.
Duke, so.
Yeah, exactly. But who would be the four you'd have? Like
Io, Rhea, Bianca, Stephanie?
Stephanie, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Like different eras, kind of all.
Yeah.
Be cool. So we go to Fatal Influence versus Lyra, Rhea, and Stephanie. JC and Stephanie start kind of picking things up off from their title match way back when. We get a Rana from JC. Lyra comes in and is just lighting everyone up. Rhea comes in with a headbutt to Fallon. And then Jasmine slaps Rhea across the face.
Uh-oh.
And is kind of celebrating that she got one on Rhea and gets super kicked by Stephanie Vaquer. Rhea then razor's edges Jasmine out of the ring on top of the rest of Fatal Influence on the outside. And during the break, we keep on seeing Fallon mocking Lyra's bird call.
It's almost like the Arrested Development.
If you know, you know. Yeah. Jasmine then applies a kind of like Muda Lock here to Lyra, but gets a really high bridge on this.
Yeah. We've seen her do this in the past, and like it's definitely pretty impressive to see someone bend like that.
We get the soccer kick from Nyx to Lyra, and then a really nice looking double flapjack from Fallon and Jasmine, where they kind of put them up, pull them down, and then pull them up even higher, followed by a double blockbuster to Lyra. JC then follows up with her knee to the face for a two count. Lyra hits her gut wrench sit out powerbomb to JC, and then Stephanie comes in with a crossbody to Nyx, followed by the eat defeat and then running knees to both corners. Goes to the SVB, but it gets broken up, and then Fallon slingshots for care into the Nyx kick, but Steph kicks out. This is where we're getting the We Want Rhea chance, and Stephanie obliges, tagging her in, and Rhea is just ragdolling JC with clotheslines and a fallaway slam. Rhea and then and Vicare have Fallon and JC and Jasmine, sorry, by the hair. You know what they're going to do. Lyra drop kicks Jasmine to the floor, and then we get the double devil's kisses from Rhea and Stephanie to Fallon and JC. And then JC is like, I've had enough of this. She goes to leave when Lola Vice comes out to send her back to the ring. As the ref is distracted with something else going on, Lola hits her spinning back fist, sending JC into the ring, allowing Ripley to hit the Riptide for the win.
You got to give the people what they want with the Rhea Ripley, Stephanie Vicare thing. And Booker T was losing his absolute mind here. But by the end of this, you had Lola, Lyra, Rhea, and Stephanie all in the ring together with Lola, obviously challenging JC. JC just got jobbed out here, that I imagine that's because she's retaining at No Mercy. So
yeah, I would think so.
Right. And then a great line as Rhea picks up the win, Vic Joseph with a Bon Jovi quote, "Who says you can't go home?" She pins her there. But you know what? Fun match. I think we have said Jasmine Nyx actually has picked up really well here. The soccer background, it comes into play, and she does get better and better since hanging around with Fallon and JC and whatever in the PC. So they've really stepped up with a lot of their matches. You know, thinking back, like Fatal Attraction, what are they called? Fatal Attraction?
These are Fatal Influence, Toxic Attraction.
Fatal Influence. Yeah. Did we get a Toxic Attraction shout out on the show? I don't think we did.
No.
That's okay. Fatal Attraction here, like they wrestle so much on TVs, and their tag matches are usually pretty fun. So I'm happy they got the main event. And again, kind of like I said with Izzy and Tatum earlier, like here you are wrestling in developmental, but you're wrestling with all these main roster people, and you're going at their speed. Jasmine, Fallon, and JC kind of proving that we could be doing this on Mondays or Fridays. Yeah. So good for them. And we've always been a big fan of Fallon, but I think JC's coming definitely into her.
Yeah, but both are great. Champ. And I feel Jasmine definitely is the project. I felt she took majority of this match. Yeah. And she's actually really good at being ragdolled around, I think. Like, she bumps pretty well and definitely has picked up. But yeah. Really fun match. To end a pretty fun, nostalgic show, we go backstage to Ava's office. William Regal is there, and it's Trick and Oba setting up for next week, and it's official, and Regal just says, "May the best man win." But yeah, really enjoyable episode of NXT this week. And Homecoming, I think, is definitely something they could do again down the line and bring some other names back and some other kind of sort of dream pairings. But yeah, I enjoyed this week's show.
Yeah, it did a really good nostalgia act with some of the other characters and shout outs. You know, come to think of it, I've just said that I didn't see any Mandy Rose, but there was another one, or Toxic Attraction.
Mm.
No Undisputed Era shout out. I guess that's kind of like, there's still some of them are still wrestling, right?
Yeah.
So kind of weird.
And they mentioned Ember Moon.
Yeah.
but they didn't mention Sasha Banks. They just said the four horsewomen.
Right.
It was funny though, the setup for this match last week.
Yeah.
Both Boris and I thought they were setting up for Mandy Rose's return.
Oh.
Because it was JC in the ring going like, I got here all by myself. Right, no right. one, it was, and then like a car pulled up, the door opened, you saw boots go oh. down. And it was, it, I said to Boris, it's like, I'm not crazy. Did, and he's like, I thought exactly yeah. the same thing. It was going to be Mandy Rose, but no, it was these three.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually Tiffany last week, but right, she's right. injured.
Yeah, that would be another one you throw in the mix there. But yeah, really fun episode. You know, I haven't watched the last few weeks, but coming into this, it felt like they treated you with some respect, like showing you the history of it in a little bit. And if you have followed, you would follow along with some of the faces and familiar people that popped up. But even if you aren't super familiar, I think you still got a really good NXT, like one of the better ones in a long time for TV.
It's been two really good weeks in a row, I think. And with next week's big main event, like potentially could be three. They could be on a nice little run right now. Yeah. NXT.
And then we got No Mercy, which is happening September 27th, next weekend. And so far we got Obafemi versus Ricky Saints. We got Ethan Pay or Trick versus yeah. Ricky, I guess you could say. JC versus Lola Vice, Sol Ruka versus Candice or Lainey, and Paige versus Tavion. So what else do you think we're adding there? Javon Josh Briggs.
Tag
title match, Joe Hendry in there somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Hank and Tank get a rematch. So we can get a rematch okay. there.
Yeah. True.
Or was maybe last Joe. Week? I can't even remember.
Anything. Maybe Joe helps them. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways. But a pretty fun going like with the old school NXT, I guess, made me really enjoy it. But then we got some really good wrestling, and I think we're just kind of confused that we're going to Trick and Oba so abruptly when they've danced around this match for so long.
We haven't had it, have we?
So, like, I still, like, I don't know. Part of me is like, we're not getting this match.
No.
We probably are, but, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, thumbs up. Honestly, really cool to see them treat that, because I saw Triple H doing some interviews, and I forget what he was on, but saying that they are building like an updated PC in Florida, in Orlando. Okay. So they are maybe doing some adjustments and might be doing more like things elsewhere just so that they could do updates on the Performance Center. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That was up next. Join us tomorrow. Just keep an eye on our socials. We will be doing our previews for both AW All Out and WWE Wrestlepalooza. And patrons, look out, because we will be dropping the show of just us two catching up with everything that's been going on the last few weeks.
Absolutely. Yes. Again, can't do this without our NXT friends, our postmarks. Appreciate it. PoisonRana.ca, PoisonRanaPod, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff, Facebook as well. Give us a follow. Check out all the other shows. We'll be live on our YouTube tomorrow. If you missed the live, the audio will be up on the free Poison Rana feed, where we will preview WrestlePalooza and All Out in Toronto. And then this Sunday, we'll go live at some point in the afternoon with our reviews, our live experience of All Out in Toronto, and attending the presser as well. And then WrestlePalooza and a whole lot more. So again, thanks so much for joining. Glad to be back. We'll be chatting with you very, very soon. And yeah, kanpai.
Yeah. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Long live the black and gold era of NXT. And if you want to hear more of us talking about NXT, patreon.com/poisonrana. Thank you, NXT friends. We'll talk to you at another homecoming, I'm sure, down the line. But that is it. That is all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And remember, it started with a whisper.
Ahoy!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.